观众朋友们，大家好，今天是8月26号，星期三，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国贸易代表办公室发出声明，称美中双方的贸易代表已经通了电话，讨论了美中第一阶段贸易协议的执行成效。此外，此前有报道称中国会在此次会谈中提及 TikTok 还有微信等议题，不过美中双方的声明中都没有提到。下面我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
记者现在所在的地方呢，就是美国贸易代表办公室。那我们知道呢，美中双方的贸易谈判代表原定要在8月15号，也就是第一阶段美中贸易协议实施6个月之后呢，来一起开视讯的会议，检视第一阶段贸易协议执行的成效。不过后来特朗普总统说，因为他对中国处理新冠疫情的不满，因此他不想跟中国有所打交道，所以取消了那一次的会谈。那么在美国时间8月24号星期一的晚上，美国贸易代表办公室则是发出了声明，在声明当中说呢，美国贸易代表莱特希泽以及财政部长姆努钦与中国国务院副总理刘鹤在今晚正常安排的通话当中，谈论了历史性的第一阶段美中贸易协议，双方谈论了中国针对贸易协议的规定进行实质的结构性改变，并且确保对知识产权提供更大的保障，移除美国公司进入金融服务、农业等领域的障碍，并且免除强制技术转移。双方也讨论了中国对美国商品可观数量的采购，以及未来为了落实协议需要采取的行动，双方都看到了进展，并且承诺采取必要的步骤来确保协议的成功。那我们知道呢，此前有媒体报道，中方预计会在双边会谈的时候，对美方提出目前受到美国禁令的 TikTok 还有微信等议题。不过，中国商务部的声明当中并没有提到这一些，只有简短的说，双方就加强两国宏观经济政策协调、中美第一阶段经贸协议落实等问题进行了具有建设性的对话，双方同意创造条件和氛围继续推动中美第一阶段经贸协议的落实。此外呢，我们知道这个星期正是美国共和党的这个全国代表大会，那么在星期一第一天的全代会上呢，就有多位的致辞者在提到特朗普任内的成就的时候，特别提到了一些贸易协议，包括美墨加贸易协议以及美中之间的贸易协议，就此来这个特别的强调特朗普总统在他任内所进行的经贸的成就。而在第二天的共和党全代会当中，致辞的嘉宾将包括特朗普总统的儿女，还有蓬佩奥国务卿，以及第一夫人梅纳尼亚将从刚刚重新装修完的白宫玫瑰园发表致辞，而特朗普总统也将到玫瑰园参加。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
周一，共和党党代会拉开帷幕，共和党人一致提名特朗普总统竞选连任。演讲嘉宾们警告说，在这个被新冠病毒还有经济衰退连续打击的国家，如果拜登当选，未来将会更加的黑暗。
在夏洛特，一场缩减规模的党代会，一部分是直播，一部分是录播，还有来自美国各地的共和党代表们全部都支持特朗普。
So the biggest little delegation of the state of Rhode Island proudly stands united to cast our 19 votes for President Donald J. Trump.
周一晚上，焦点从夏洛特转移到华盛顿，演讲嘉宾们一个接一个维护特朗普对疫情和经济的处理。和民主党党代会一样，非裔美国人和拉美裔也以重要的角色出现。包括了尼基·海利，他是印度裔，也是前美国驻联合国大使。
The black small business owners who've watched their life's work go up in flames, they matter. The black kids who've been gunned down on the playground, their lives matter too.
画面里展示着特朗普在白宫接见抗击疫情的一线工作人员们，同时引述他的成就，回忆他任命保守派联邦大法官。他说这是他的民主党挑战者乔拜登不会做的事。
The radical left will demand that he appoints super radical left, wild, crazy justices going into the Supreme Court. Your American dream will be dead if that happens.
民主党人指责特朗普试图减慢信件在疫情间的邮寄速度，通过压制那些可能支持拜登的选票来帮助他自己再次当选。特朗普说，民主党人推广邮寄投票的计谋会使大选暴露在诈骗之下。
This is the greatest scam in the history of politics, I think, and I'm talking about beyond our nation. And they act like they're aggrieved.
这个说法受到民主党人的嘲笑。观众们听到来自圣路易斯的一对夫妇讲话，再次想起黑人的命也是命运动的全国抗议。这对夫妇曾因为觉得受到抗议者的威胁而挥舞他们的武器。
They're not satisfied with spreading the chaos and violence into our communities. They want to abolish the suburbs altogether.
特朗普在大部分的民调中都落后，但是大选将取决于谁能够在密西根这样的关键摇摆州获得更多的选票。
I expect him to have more votes in Michigan than he did last time, and you know the energy policies and the manufacturing policies, the new trade agreement, all those things are of massive benefit to Michigan and to the upper Midwest as well.
共和党人还有三个晚上的时间，在大选活动正式开始前，去努力塑造他们的故事叙事。美国之音奥沙利文，洛杉矶报道。
在共和党全国代表大会的第一个晚上，演讲嘉宾们对民主党总统候选人拜登展开了攻势，称如果民主党执政的话，会让美国走向社会主义。此外，共和党人还抨击了民主党人，使人们一时失言或者行为不当就会受到抵制，也就是所谓的取消文化盛行。而民主党人的回应则将火力集中在特朗普总统对新冠疫情的处理之上。
Good evening, America. I'm Donald Trump Jr.
共和党人在大会的第一晚集中火力攻击民主党候选人拜登。
But Biden's radical left-wing policies would stop our economic recovery cold.
指责拜登将让美国走向社会主义。
And we know that socialism has failed everywhere.
也批评民主党让取消文化盛行，并意图减少对警察的拨款。
In America, to leave to our children and grandchildren without those brave law enforcement officers and first responders.
民主党人则将回击重点聚焦在特朗普总统对新冠疫情的处理上。拜登在推特上贴图，凸显美国的新冠疫情病例从三月开始一路攀升，并说本不用这么糟糕的。
Ladies and gentlemen, leaders and fighters for freedom and liberty.
特朗普团队成员小唐纳德·特朗普的女友金伯利·吉尔弗伊尔也被民主党人批评在周一讲话时的表现过于夸张。国务卿蓬佩奥决定在周二参与共和党大会，这也招致民主党人的质疑和抨击。通常美国外交官员不会高调参加党派活动。美国国务院则回应称，国务卿蓬佩奥此次是以个人名义在共和党大会发表讲话。美国之音新闻报道。
共和党全国代表大会这个星期在北卡罗来纳州举行，美国国务卿蓬佩奥周二发表演说，阐述了共和党政府任内美国的外交政策成就。他还提到了本月早些时候阿联酋还有以色列在美国的支持下正式建交。下面我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥本周出访中东以及苏丹，第一站是耶路撒冷，强化以色列与波斯湾地区阿拉伯国家的关系，建立针对伊朗的阵线，以及对抗共产中国对全球的威胁，是这位首席美国外交官出访的主要目标之一。一般认为巴林以及阿曼可能仿效阿联酋和以色列正式建交。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥对共和党全国代表大会的演说从以色列录制，在促进中东和平上的突破，敦促盟友联手对抗伊朗，因应共产中国的挑战，以及以民主与人权的价值来对抗集权体制，被视为美国政府的重大外交成就。
星期二，这位首席美国外交官访问苏丹，成为2005年以来第一位访问这个非洲国家的国务卿。蓬佩奥也是自从去年苏丹独裁领导人巴希尔被罢免之后，访问苏丹的美国最高层级官员。这次访问的目标之一在于表明美国支持苏丹的民主过渡。推动中东国家结盟来对抗共同的对手伊朗是美国政府的主要外交政策之一。传统上中国和伊朗关系良好，有分析认为 中国在伊朗有重要的政治与经济利益，面对美国制裁措施的波及与压力，必须做出抉择。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
美国国防部长埃斯珀发文讨论了来自中国的军事威胁，并且提出了与盟国共同抵制北京扩张的措施。此外， TikTok 的收购谈判仍在继续，两家在 TikTok 的母公司字节跳动拥有大量股份的美国投资公司正在推动甲骨文替代微软收购 TikTok。
美国国防部长埃斯珀8月24日在《华尔街日报》发表题为《五角大楼已经为中国做好了准备》的文章，指出目前是自由和开放的国际秩序与北京所倡导的专制制度之间进行全球竞争的新时代，中国领导人将军队视为实现其目标的核心，这些目标中最重要的是重塑国际秩序，破坏全球公认的规则。中国的这些行动促使美国国防部做出全面回应。埃斯珀继而提出三大举措，首先要与中国进行长期竞争，美国需要拥有能够在海陆空太空还有网络空间所有领域竞争威慑还有取胜的武装力量。其次，扩大和加强盟友以及合作伙伴网络。第三，美国需要继续加强合作伙伴的能力。埃斯珀最后敦促所有国家审核并考虑削减与中国人民解放军的联系。他呼吁重视自由、人权和法治的国家团结起来，对抗解放军在中国共产党破坏各国主权的侵略企图中扮演的胁迫角色。两家在 TikTok 的母公司字节跳动拥有大量股份的美国投资公司正积极推动甲骨文替代微软成为 TikTok 的最后买家。据《华尔街日报》报道，这两家公司分别是大西洋大众公司和红杉资本。红杉资本的全球管理伙伴道格里昂已经和美国财政部长姆努钦以及美国总统特朗普的高级顾问还有女婿库什纳就此事进行了通话。尽管出售事宜还在进行中，但是 TikTok 已经于周一宣布对美国政府提起诉讼，称特朗普当局的行政令违反了合法的法律程序。
由于中国镇压以穆斯林为主的突厥语系少数民族，一些中国的维吾尔人到土耳其寻求庇护，但是随着北京对安卡拉的压力加大，这些维吾尔人非常担心他们在土耳其的未来。来看报道。
维吾尔活动人士在最近一次示威活动中表示，他们无法在土耳其发表批评中国的言论。警方稍早逮捕了活动人士，因为他们身穿印有被中国当局监禁的家人的 T 恤衫。
Police said you can go now, but not with these T-shirts. We said why? The officer said you can't. You have to wear them inside out. Forcing us to wear these T-shirts inside out insulted not only our honor, but our mothers and brothers as well.
土耳其是维吾尔难民最多的国家之一，当中许多人住在伊斯坦布尔。诗人阿卜杜雷西敏伊明帕拉契七年前逃亡到伊斯坦布尔，他的妻子在中国的拘留营里。帕拉契担心他对中国的批评现在使他成为土耳其当局的目标。
Police detained me in a restaurant and took me to the Sefakoy precinct. They handed me a document and asked me to sign it. It said, this person is affiliated with organizations that are a threat to Turkey. I said I have nothing to do with these groups and I won't sign it.
人权律师伊卜拉辛埃尔金表示，像帕拉奇这样的案件并不罕见。他目前正与中国企图引渡几名知名维吾尔活动人士的举动抗衡。
People are taken into detention with the accusation of foreign terrorist fighters, even though there is no evidence. We know that China is putting great pressure on the Interior and Foreign Affairs Ministry and the security forces. During our communication with these authorities, we are told that deporting 5 to 10 Uyghurs would make Turkey more comfortable economically and politically.
前总理艾哈迈德·达沃古鲁指责埃尔多安政府牺牲维吾尔人以加深与中国的经济联系。埃尔多安总统驳斥了这一指控，称土耳其已向成千上万的维吾尔人提供庇护。随着有关中国镇压维吾尔人的更多消息传出，土耳其总统在很大程度上避免加入国际社会对北京的谴责。 这种沉默使帕拉奇这样的维吾尔人感到紧张。
The authorities have been keeping silent because of this silence. I feel scared. I can't speak about my future. If I do, I would upset myself with bad thoughts because my future is an unknown darkness.
帕拉奇在诗歌中寻求安慰。和许多维吾尔人一样，多年来他不曾听到家人的消息，未来也似乎希望渺茫。美国之音琼斯伊斯坦布尔报道。
总统大选倒计时70天，在今年的总统大选中，选民们最关心什么议题？经济、新冠疫情还是外交政策？我们在纽约街头随机采访了一些民众，来听听他们的看法。
In this election, the most important issue is the health crisis. Second in a row is the economic issue, because the health crisis leads to an economic crisis. It should be obvious.Fix the health crisis, you'll fix the economic crisis.
I want somebody that's going to put the safety of our people first, so that's the most important thing to me right now.
The environment, mostly.
The issues I care about most are equality. Obviously, I'm transgender, and it's a very important topic to me.
I would say climate change. It was one of many issues, along with like equal rights for all people, along with economic justice and social justice.
It really together, I mean, it's the combined coronavirus with the racial unrest and the fact that everybody is just doing so badly health-wise, economically. People absolutely have to have health coverage.
At the end of the day, like, most people are kind of like, they actually care about one issue, whether they have money in their paycheck. And...whether they have enough money to support themselves. I do care about immigration too because it directly has an effect on the economy.
新冠病毒对于老年人的影响最大，而这可能会影响美国11月的总统大选，特别是会影响投票站，因为投票站特别依赖老年志愿人员。
维吉尼亚州阿灵顿的65岁居民伊丽莎白·斯兰塔，过去30年一直在投票站担任志愿工作者，这是斯兰塔的家族传统，他母亲也在投票站帮忙。斯兰塔2011年退休，在他3月间检测新冠病毒呈阳性反应前，他还期待在10月再次志愿工作。
I came up with the virus, coronavirus, on the 14th of March, and the only real contact that I could think of that I really had a lot of.contact with people was at the polls because I worked at my precinct near where I live.
病毒对斯兰塔带来沉重打击，整整3星期他一直在家对抗高烧，而他仍然因病毒的后遗症所苦，他的嗅觉还没有恢复，还掉了一些头发。他最近决定在大流行病结束之前，他不会去投票站从事志愿工作。
The chief in my precinct,his wife, I think, might be somehow immune compromised. And then also his mother-in-law lives with them now. So I emailed him for the last election and I said, I am not going to be working, so don't count on me. And he said, I think I am not going to work either because, you know, of the situation.
当3月初选，斯兰塔在投票站工作的时候，严格的防护措施还没有到位。
在室内公共场所戴口罩不是强制性的，社交距离也没有受到重视。但另一位投票站工作人员艾米丽·兰斯曼说，现在情况不同了。艾米丽计划在11月支援服务。
The county provided us with masks, and they say Arlington election, so they're kind of fun as far as masks go. They offered us face shields if we wanted that. They put up plexiglass barriers, so there's a barrier between the voter and us.
尽管如此，兰斯曼说他还是有点担心。他在阿灵顿县最大的投票站志愿工作，那里的注册选民有6000多人。不过他决心有始有终。他还说，毕竟工作总要有人去做。根据美国选举协助委员会的数据，在2018年，年龄超过60岁的选举工作人员大约占58%，而那正是新冠病毒大流行期间风险最高的年龄层。公平选举中心的瑞安·皮兰农兹说，如果地方选举官员无法找到足够的青年志工，那么2020年11月的选举可能会棘手。
So in 2016, according to the EAC, the Election Assistance Commission, it took over 900,000 poll workers to hold the election across the country in 2016, and a significant portion of those were over the age of 60. So we know that it's going to be hundreds of thousands of people who are older Americans over the age of 60 who traditionally who have served in the past, and we're not sure, you know, what proportion of those will be serving this year versus not.
雇佣公司正在联系大学生提供工作机会，但专家表示，要说服年轻的美国人并不那么容易。投票工作每天通常要做12小时，要承担很多责任和压力。为投票站工作确实有工资，待遇因州而异，时薪从14美元到15美元不等。招聘人员认为，这可能让一些失业的年轻学生动心。问题是，11月是否会有足够的志愿工作者在投票中心工作？美国之音记者瓦伦蒂娜·瓦西里耶娃和安娜莱斯，华盛顿报道。
新冠疫情席卷全美，纽约著名的百老汇演出被迫搁置。在2021年冬天之前，观众还有演员们都没有办法回到美丽的剧场。
每年有1400多万人会来纽约著名的百老汇观看演出。2019年，这些演出带来了超过17亿美元的收入，但自3月以来，剧院一直空无一人。百老汇可能面临创纪录的假期，长达1年。戏剧评论家迈克尔·里德尔认为，在新冠疫苗出现之前，剧院不会重新恢复生机。
There was no possibility of Broadway or concerts or anything live, any live events coming back until there's a vaccine. One, the actors can't do it, because how are you going to do Romeo and Juliet when they both have masks on? It's going to, you know, kill the romance. The musicians do not want to be in the pit of an orchestra until they feel safe going there, because as you know, with the vaccine, if you're blowing on the flute, on the trombone, it's going to spread the virus. So they're not going to go back to work.
最受欢迎的百老汇演出如《汉密尔顿》《歌剧魅影》和《狮子王》很可能在前所未有的中断之后幸存下来，但一些不太出名的剧目可能不得不了结。
The biggest one is Frozen, which is the Broadway show that was frozen, but the pandemic is not gonna thaw. It's done. There are a couple others.
但即使是那些幸存下来的剧目，也不得不适应新的现实。这个行业将不得不审查其定价政策，并补偿那些幕后的工作人员、音乐家、灯光设计师和照明设计师。
You cannot reopen Broadway when there's a vaccine and say, "Hey, by the way, Hamilton's back on the boards, and you pay $1,200 to see it." That's not going to happen. Ticket prices will have to come down to a reasonable level.
但如何做到这一点，对行业领导人来说是一个棘手的问题。作为最古老的戏剧公司之一，舒伯特集团在百老汇拥有17家剧院，他们被迫让很多员工休假，但随着时间的流逝，他们已经证明自己的毅力。
The Schubert Organization, which is the, you know, the foundation of Broadway, the anchor of Broadway, that has survived, Schubert survived the Great Depression,They survived September 11th. They survived the collapse of New York City in the 1970s. when the city was perceived as so dangerous, nobody would want to come here. They survived certainly Hurricane Sandy. They have survived everything.
百老汇不仅仅属于百老汇，也属于纽约市。这个行业向城市注入资金，提供数千个工作岗位。充满活力的剧院行业为时代广场附近的酒店、餐馆和商店提供着资金的来源。对许多人来说，当百老汇回来，纽约就带着所有的喧嚣和闪亮回来了。美国之音马斯洛夫纽约报道。
安妮·格里菲斯是最早加入国家地理的女摄影师之一，在45年的职业生涯中，她走遍了每一个大洲。来看报道。
This is in Cambodia when kids are seeing water come out of the ground for the first time in their lives. also in Cambodia. This is in Indonesia where women who were watching their kids suffer from malnutrition. These are salt workers, which is one of the toughest jobs, and it mostly is done by young girls and women. And I was with them, and, you know, with the health organization, because the salt takes a terrible toll on their little bodies.
格里菲斯在全世界拍摄了数千张照片，她是最早加入国家地理的女性摄影师之一。在长达45年的时间里，她的足迹遍布七个大洲、150多个国家。
I've always felt that being a woman was an advantage in my job, both initially getting into photojournalism and then recognizing that I had half the world pretty much to myself.I spent about 5 years doing projects in the Middle East, and many parts of the Middle East and many aspects of their culture are gender separate. I think that is judged often by the Western world, but there again is an opportunity to actually look at it from the women's point of view.
格里菲斯照片中的这些妇女在自然灾害、大迁徙、歧视、战争、瘟疫和饥荒中幸存了下来。但格里菲斯说，经历过这一切，她们仍然坚守传统，养育子女，心存悲伤地活着。
So the stories I focus on are where women have found solutions. It's usually because they come together as a group.And as a group, they figure out how to do something better. They're the ones planting millions of trees. They're the ones who are, you know, staying till the last minute after the men leave and then shepherding their children and sometimes their parents.
格里菲斯相信女性不愿成为受害者，她们在最严酷的情况中仍然保持着希望。于是格里菲斯决定成立慈善项目涟漪效果图像，为发展中国家的妇女提供资助。九年前，他看到美国国际开发署的人道主义救助数据之后，产生了这个想法。
2 cents out of every American aid dollar went to programs for women. So 98% went to men's programs. So I literally called my girlfriends, who are some of the best photographers in the world, and said, look, why don't we learn from the women we observe in the wider world? They reported raising over $10 million just in those first 6 years.So it works, you know, when you humanize a situation. So you don't talk about the women of Morocco. You show a woman from Morocco and you see the light in her eyes.
但格里菲斯的生活不只有工作而已，她是两个孩子的母亲。从一开始她就告诉自己，永远不要和孩子们分开超过两周。他在国家地理的大部分异地拍摄工作都要持续至少3个月，所以他的孩子们也和他一起到访几十个国家，结识了成百上千的人。
I've been traveling with my mom since I was just in her belly, so we've picked up a few stories over the years. We've been to some really remarkable places. Few real highlights over the years. I think that the Middle East is always going to be really special to me.
2008年，格里菲斯出版了一本摄影回忆录，名为《一台相机、两个孩子和一头骆驼》。书中讲述了如何达到工作、家庭与世界的和谐。美国之音莫斯卡科夫维吉尼亚州报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。